Are you watching that show, Stumble?
What is that show?
It's a cheerleading show on NBC.
Oh, I would be into that.
So let me tell you, the woman who's the star of it, her name is Jen Lyon, and she and I are on a board of an organization together, so I've gotten to know her a little bit.
A is four?
Yes, and she is so good.
That's great.
She's so funny. It's that very NBC, like, she's in the Leslie Knope, sort of Liz Lemony character. Fam, if you're not watching it, go watch Stumble. Find Jen Lyon on the social media. She's still not that famous yet.
Great. Well, also, for the record, we're recording this in January.
Oh, that's right.
So...
Did you watch that show from 9 months
right.
ago?
Yeah, I don't want to hear it in my DMs.
Totally.
This is 4 months later.
Oh, my God. Hi, Julia Mazzavalli.
Hello, Patrick Hines.
You are dressed for April when this is premiering.
I took the layers off.
I know.
I had snow boots on.
I don't know what I'm dressed for, because no matter how many layers I wear, I'm never warm enough.
I know.
You know what I mean?
And we're like definitely in a tundra, Arctic tundra.
It's a tundra.
It is.
What are we talking about today?
Hi, welcome to our bonus episodes. This is our second bonus episode of the year. This is another episode of that show called Murder Under the Friday Night Lights, season one, episode five, Do It for One. And they do.
It was just so gratifying to see my son doing something that he liked. Felt real good.
Here we were, two kids, a starting running back, starting quarterback. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to play for it all.
11:25, code 6.
This is 2 o'clock in the morning when everybody piles out of these nightclubs, and then we have a shooting.
I was down on my knees holding Juan. He's bleeding out.
It was all black. It seemed like it was a drop.
This is a very up-close shooting, which, to me, makes it very personal.
How intense and passionate they are about their Friday night lights. The community was as passionate towards finding some form of justice for Juan.
I'm sitting and I'm wondering, who shot my child?
Our victim here, his name is Juan Anthony Joseph. We're in Engard, Louisiana. They love football there. They love it.
They do. We're here with his mom, Betty. She's awesome.
Can I just say, they describe football as a rite of passage. It's like church.
Yeah. A lot of people feel that way, especially high school.
Sometimes when we do documentaries like this, I wish that I had grown up in a place and that I had loved football. Like, I wish that I had grown up in a place that, like, people did football and I loved it.
Yeah.
Because it seems so quintessential to the high school experience in a way that I miss.
Yeah, we didn't have a football team at our school, so I missed that whole thing, too. But I love the vibe, like, the coziness.
Yeah.
That means, like, fall is here.
Yeah.
The food is always really good.
I was, like, I played in the halftime show at our high school football games because I was in the marching band.
So cool.
But it was freezing.
Yeah.
And you're out there in your little nerdy band uniform.
I'm actually so excited for I don't care about the Super Bowl, but I'm very excited for the performances this year. Again,
yeah.
That happened 3 months ago
because this
is now January, but they're happening next week, like Bad Bunny and Green Day. Hello.
I love that everybody is like, what year was this?
I know.
So, yeah, Betty is Juan's mom. She's amazing. She's explaining that
Juan was gifted athletically. That was just so easy for him.
2004, Juan became starting quarterback at West St. John. I think Juan didn't even throw an interception.
The thing about Juan is that he wasn't just good at football. He was born to do it. It came, like, athleticism. Juan and I have this in common.
Sure.
Athleticism. Gifted athletes.
Yeah.
Came naturally to us.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, I love that mom Betty makes a point to say, like, he worked, like, yes, he was a natural. Yes, he was gifted. But he also worked incredibly hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, Baryshnikov still had to practice dancing.
You know?
We had to, you're right. Does anybody know who Baryshnikov? He was Carrie's boy. Boyfriend.
Yeah, he's the Russian.
Exactly.
I was not a fan of the Russian storyline. Okay. So 2004, Juan is the starting quarterback for the West St. John Fightin' Rams.
Never threw an interception, says mom.
Yeah.
Not once.
This is a very big deal because mom Betty explains there were a lot of expectations here. Like, the entire town loves this team. They want you to win and you gotta win.
I just made a note that Betty, the mom, has so much pride in her kid.
Loves.
And I love it. She says, you have to show the fans that you are tough and you're a winner, because the whole town of Edgard just wanted the Rams to win at any cost.
Yeah.
I was like, any cost, Betty?
Yeah.
My God.
And Juan was doing it.
Juan was doing it.
So now we
No cheerleaders.
No.
Like in the show Stumble.
or Friday Night Lights, which is, exactly, again, everything I know about football.
Last thing I'll say about Stubble, they have male cheerleaders and they're awesome. The thing is, it's like...
Male cheerleaders are not like an... Like, they're all... They're everywhere.
They're so... The thing... Remember Bring It On, the musical, the Lin-Manuel Miranda, Amanda Green, also on the board of AS4.
I was going to say, or the movie that I can recite from word for word.
The thing that I loved about the show is that everybody loves a cheer routine. Like,
sure.
You're never... Like, back me up on this, fam. You're never flipping through the channels and, like, you stumble up on the ESPN, like, cheer finals and passing it.
It is a feat of athleticism.
You're always going to watch it. Yeah, Those women or people that they throw in the air...
It's amazing.
A million feet in the air.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You're ready
I don't
to
know
move
how
on.
They do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't know how... Like,
you
would have
been
a
good flyer, I think.
No way.
No, well, you're notoriously not a good flyer now.
Right, no, yeah, I hadn't even thinking about that. But, like... I think I would be so bad at it, but I'm in awe of it. But yeah. I'm like, I think I would be too. They would be like, "Can you put your shoulders down?"
I want to see you do like with that hair and a ponytail. I want to see you doing the flips in the air.
I would definitely trust my people, but like that's part of the thing where I'm like, "Oh my God, they work so well together."
Truly,
like it's amazing.
Yeah,
Mark Jody Bowden is here. He's a booster. This is something I learned from Friday Night Lights, what a booster is.
What's a booster?
So a booster is basically, it's all about the money and getting the money for the team. It's usually like alumni or parents or like rich people in the community or generous people in the community, and they raise money for the team. Like,
okay.
Usually you have a kid on the team, but not always.
Oh.
But they're like really involved in the team and they have a lot of opinions on the team and they also give a lot of money to the team.
The only booster I've known of until now is the COVID one.
Oh, or like a booster seat.
Yeah, like a booster seat, which they don't have at the Radio City Christmas show. Seems like an oversight to me.
I mean, maybe like 8 years ago. Daisy's like 12.
Well, she's still little enough that she needs a booster.
No, really? Oh, I'm an asshole. Sorry.
No. It's fine. But you know what? It means that she had to sit on my lap this year, which was great.
Okay.
Girl, Zenni is a new sponsor. This is a whole class of situation, may I?
Yeah, it's an online eyewear shop. Tell me everything.
So I became obsessed with this because not only are their glasses beautiful and functional, they're like super well priced. I could not believe how well priced they were.
Wow.
So I go to the website. They've got all different styles and kinds. We're talking prescription glasses, which is what I was looking for. They've got sunglasses that were gorgeous, blue light lenses, and they're starting at $30. But the thing is, they've got this virtual try-on tool, and I've tried this on so many of these sites. This one was so good. You literally look into your camera, you press a button, the glasses pop onto your face. Then you can move around. I've never seen this before.
Wow.
You can like put your head down, put your head
up. You get the profile.
Yes, and the glasses stay with you. It honestly looks like you're wearing them. I was looking at a pair. I actually bought this pair that had like a pride rainbow at the top.
Cute.
Because you can mix and match because they're like well-priced and they're beautiful. So you can just like shop till you drop.
Yeah. So all you do is you go to Zenni.com, you pick a frame, you upload your prescription and they ship it to your door. You don't have to worry about an appointment. You don't have to go to the store. You're not getting like upsold at the counter.
No, and as like a glasses wearer, I cannot tell you how much easier that makes. When you go into a store, they try to talk to you for an hour. They're trying to sell you stuff. Listen, Zenni's got over 150,000 five-star reviews. 150,001, because I literally went and made a review as soon as I got off the site. As a lifelong glasses wearer, I am obsessed.
And you know this price is just not...
I've never seen anything like... I couldn't believe it.
That's awesome.
So fam, if your glasses are overdue for a refresh, now is the time.
Go to zenni.com/podcast and use code podcast15 for 15% off your first order.
The styles do sell out, so don't sit on this, fam.
That's zenni.com/podcast, promo code podcast15.
Look for those pride glasses and tell them I sent you.
How cute.
And then go leave a review. Let's get them to 200,000.
Oh my God.
Dre, his brother, is here. First of all, I love that name. Dre is a great name.
Yep.
And he's like, Juan was the community's hero. The thing about Juan, and this is one of the things that is so heartbreaking about this case.
I think everybody was in total shock that this actually happened to Juan Joseph. Juan didn't go out looking for trouble. Especially gun violence. That's not the child that my parents raised.
He was just a good guy. Obviously, nobody should be murdered ever. It doesn't matter if you're, you know what I mean? But like, he just happened to be a very good guy, like a peacemaker. You could tell that like he led the team. He brought the team together. He was just like that kind of person.
And he was inspiring. I think not just the kids in the community, but everyone in the community, you know?
Yes.
And he was super smart. He was also smart about football. He was just like firing on all cylinders, this guy.
So Juan's best friend, Patrick, is here. I feel like we should just say some things because it's easy to confuse me with Patrick. Really into cars. Uh-huh. Very handsome.
Great under pressure.
Great under pressure. Really
great
athletic.
Memorization skills.
Great memorization. So just like we're mostly talking about the other Patrick.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know what I mean?
For the most part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do want to say one thing just about like how amazing Juan was at what he did and what he made people feel a lot of things.
Yes.
And so in his first year playing football, they won state and then they got to play at the Superdome in New Orleans.
I know.
His dad was just like beaming with pride. Imagine being so young.
I know.
And being so good at something and then being able to like play at the Superdome.
I know. I mean, it really,
in front of your friends and family.
It really is incredible. And like both of his parents are here and they still beam with pride for these things for him.
Right. Patrick Jackson is Juan's childhood friend and they were both a class of 2005 and they knew each other since they were like 6 years old.
Yeah. And like he says that they started finding out who they were through football.
I thought that was very sweet.
I did. Through drama club.
Sure.
You know?
And then he goes, the rest was history. It's just like, I love seeing
friends,
best friends.
This doesn't end happily.
No. So after high school, Juan went to Millsaps College in Mississippi, where he was also the quarterback.
Yeah. Mom loved going to watch him play. She can't stop talking about it. I love her.
I know. And then Juan marries a woman named Kayla, and they have a daughter named Aria. And his mom is like, he literally was saying, like, he just wants to live happily ever after. Like, those were his words, happily ever after.
It just... On second watch of this, it's all so heartbreaking because everything was coming up Juan, as you say.
And he was like so ready and everyone, you know, he had this like great support system. And like by August 2011, he was married. He loved his wife, Kayla. He loved his daughter. He loved his life.
He realized that I have a greater calling to go back home and just be with people who I love, give back to my community, give back to young kids.
What better way to do it than to become a coach? For the other students. So he brought his family back with him, Kayla and Aria, and he became the West St. John quarterback coach.
So he goes back to be the quarterback coach for the football team that he was the star of.
The West St. John Fighting Rams.
I love it when you say things like one state.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The West St. John.
This is as much your wheelhouse as the Mafia.
Barely. But speaking of wheelhouses, like who better to coach this team than Juan? He lived it.
Yeah.
And he was the star quarterback.
And he was so proud of his title. His mom says he was a celebrity and he felt that way. He said people would cook his favorite meal just so they could come over and have dinner with him.
Just to invite him over.
And I was like, is that an option? Because there's plenty of people, if I just show up, like that I'd love to have dinner. If I just make their favorite meal, can I go to their house for dinner?
Juan's like, okay, sign me up.
Bring it over,
you know?
He says.
And like, much like playing football, he made it look easy. And he made everyone around him better as a coach. Which is the goal.
We've seen that in these documentaries that we've covered about the sports, is that when it's done by people at that level, it does look easy.
And when they love it and when they're doing it for the right reasons and there's no like corruption or like, you know, performance enhancing drugs or like you're stealing from kids and making a fake high school or anything
or
of that
like,
nature.
You know, future murderer who gets away with it or whatever.
Like torturing animals and dogs and everything. Like when you're not doing that.
Yeah.
Look what you can
do.
You know what I mean?
This is the other option.
So, and Juan was like treated like royalty. And so by November 2014, everyone wants to win state. Like that's all. And I'm like, but isn't that always the goal?
I love hearing you say it. I wrote the state championship.
It's the same thing.
But you know what? We're going to speak colloquially because Jillian's a football player.
And I'm like, well, isn't that the point of every season? We all want to win state.
Everybody wants to win state, but like, can you get there is the question.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a long road to state.
That's what they tell me.
Right. And Juan has done it before. So he's leading this team and everyone looks up to. Imagine you're a kid on that team and you're like, Juan is my coach.
I know.
I grew up watching him play.
Yes.
And like changing my life. And I'm on this field because of him. And now he's here guiding me. Like, what a cool thing.
And Kayla, his wife, was expecting, again, they're expecting their second daughter. Dre is like, why couldn't you get it right and have a boy, bro?
Dre.
I know he's joking. I know, Dre, you're kidding, but pipe down.
I didn't love that.
I didn't love that either.
That'll just be a blip. We don't have
to. We'll move right back. Dre is great.
But like the nursery was all ready. Like they couldn't wait.
Yeah.
So we kind of hear the tragedy first and then we go unpack it. It really startled me at first. I was like, oh, shit.
It's an interesting way to tell the story.
Yeah. Because we learned that November 15th, 2014, it's a Saturday night.
That night on Saturday, I was on a night shift and I got the call from my wife. And she said, I'm going to the hospital. And I was like, oh, good. You know, Kayla's getting ready to have that baby, good. So she said, you're not listening to me. Juan had been shot.
and Juan has been shot and killed. And you're immediately like, what the hell happened?
And it's like the dad gets a call from the mom, doesn't really understand. Because the mom's like, I'm going to the hospital. And he thinks the baby is coming.
Right.
And she's like, no. Juan's been shot.
Because the baby was days away.
Yes.
Days away from being born.
And like, you know, this is where we meet Detective Brian Ballard. And he got the call about the shooting at 3 a.m. And he learns that there was a shooting at a nightclub. There's a guy down. The guy went to the hospital. So that's where the detective goes first. He goes to the hospital and immediately starts interviewing all of the people that are there. Now, Juan was brought to the hospital alive.
Right.
And Brian, the detective, promises Juan's dad, we're going to get to the bottom of this, but like it's the moment that the mother walks in that she learns that Juan has died.
Yeah. So let's go back, right? There's a big football game. Everyone travels to Baton Rouge for the game.
Yeah. They got to watch it in the fancy, what do you call that thing?
Like the box?
Yeah, like the suite, they say. Yeah.
Juan wants to go out tonight because everyone's in town. He's in an amazing mood. He also says that like he knows his wife is going to give birth in like 2 days.
Yes.
And his life is about to change. Major.
He's like all parents, I never get to go out. I'm especially not going to get to go out. Tonight's
right.
the night.
And he's riding high, like, let's go, right?
Yeah.
So they go to Club Allure for a friend's birthday. And Dre, his brother, makes the point to tell us that, like,
going out wasn't something that he did often, at least not to a club. So this was kind of, I don't know, different. I remember the last thing I told him was, like, be careful. Like, whatever you do, just be careful.
And Dre says that his last words to his brother were, just be careful.
Yeah, I know. I make Daisy kiss her dad every time. Like, if I take her to school, I'm like, go give daddy a kiss. Because you just never know.
That should be standard.
I know. I guess I'm like, is it just because of my line of work or whatever? But like,
maybe. A big thing that Mike and I always say, love you, bye. Even if I'm taking Fiona out in the morning, like, it's always just like.
And but like, also maybe bye.
Yeah.
You know.
But really, like, love you, bye. See you in 2 minutes.
Hopefully.
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm not thinking like, this is it. Well, sometimes I am.
Sometimes.
So 2 a.m., the clubs are closing. Everyone is out on the street, right? Yeah. They're getting their rides. They're
by the way,
at night.
Baton Rouge, 2 a.m. is the right time. Baton Rouge, Boston, New York, you're going a little crazy. A 4 a.m. closing is a little nuts.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's not every place.
It's not every place, but
they're
remember.
Playing fast and loose.
I was just telling my friends, Mike and Lindsay. Hi, Mike and Lindsay.
Hi.
My rule when I was like in my 20s going out that was that we had to leave before the lights came on. So like 3:58, I'd be rounding people up. Like, we got to get out of here. Because if
it's
the lights
awakening.
Come on. And you realize the mistakes you've made when you're standing in the bar and the lights are
like,
on.
Oh, shit.
You're like, I should have been home 9 hours ago.
I should not have tried that kind of eye makeup.
No. Eye makeup was sure I was where I was sure you were going with that.
Yeah.
Girl, Salt and Stone is a new sponsor this week. You're obsessed. I'm obsessed. Let me tell you, fam. Salt and Stone deodorant is award-winning, aluminum-free, and formulated for 48-hour protection. Today, they sell one deodorant every 5 seconds.
Let me tell you, I know that each product is a careful blend of antioxidant and nutrient-rich ingredients.
Yes,
I love that.
Of
That's
course,
all great.
Of course.
Fine.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I love scents. I love the way things smell.
Yeah.
I like smelling good. I like my home to smell good. These deodorants, I have never in my life smelled anything like it. So the Salt and Stone's discovery sets, like, this is the best way to find all of them.
Yeah.
I almost couldn't pick my favorite, but the Santal is definitely my favorite because it has some vetiver in there.
Ooh,
and like, I never find vetiver in anything, and I love it.
It's the first I've ever heard this word in my life.
It's really good. It's like kind of musky and smoky, but it's like the scent of Santal. I love it, but I also love the other ones too.
Well, so Steve was telling me he got the bergamot and he is obsessed with it. Now, we are like not a cologne house. We don't do like those kinds of scents. So when he puts on this deodorant and he's just smells like so handsome and sexy. He's like, you must mention this.
Because it feels like you're in some like luxury hotel.
Yeah.
It feels like when you walk into a hotel and like that scent that they have like right in with the revolving doors or whatever,
that's
what it smells like. It smells fresh, clean, super luxury. I'm obsessed with this stuff.
We are all obsessed, fam. You can try Salt and Stone's discovery set to find your signature scent.
Go to saltandstone.com/TCO and use code TCO at checkout for 15% off your first order.
That's saltandstone.com/TCO and use code TCO for 15% off your first order, but do not order the bergamot. You have to save it all for Steve.
Oh my God, order it. It's so good.
I know.
You have to order it. We're not gatekeeping.
All right, that's true. Go get it.
Everyone's going to smell so good. So everyone is outside. Everyone has been like, I'm sure, imbibing. It's 2 a.m. Like, there's a lot happening. And this is when the shooting happens, and a massive crowd of people with tons of witnesses and cars everywhere.
Except we still at the moment don't really know what happens. And so this is where Detective Brian, he's now on the scene looking for whatever evidence they can find that is still there. And they find shell casings. Mm-hmm. So they grab the shell casings.
Initially on scene, we don't have the names of any shooters or persons involved in the crime, but we have descriptions of the vehicle involved.
Witnesses are saying we have a black car leaving the scene. That's pretty much one of our first pieces of information that we got.
All we know is that it's a black car. And I'm like, Right, so not all that much to go on at all.
Right. So the two friends that were with Juan are Patrick and William. And the cops go back and forth between calling him William and his last name.
Griffin.
Which is Griffin. So if in the audio, you'll hear William and Griffin are the same person. But they were with Juan when he was shot. So they're brought in for questioning before daylight at like 5 a.m.
And Patrick Jackson, just to be clear, he is lifelong friends with Juan. They played football together and now they're coaching together. So he knows him incredibly well.
And William is more a friend of Patrick's. Doesn't know Juan as well. It takes them way too long to tell us this. William was hammered. Like, Patrick was not. William, and like, William didn't do this. He's not, like, he hasn't done anything wrong here, but that is important to the information gathering that's about to happen.
And I also want to say this, like, the dynamic is two white cops talking to one black man.
Yes.
And they separated each other. Like, there's that too.
For sure.
So, yeah. Just throwing that out there.
The other thing here is that Patrick has just watched his best friend be murdered.
Well, that too.
So there's all of these dynamics going on all at once, but the cops got to get the whatever information they can get now. And Patrick is like, we were exhausted, but like doing the best we could to give the info to the police.
So Patrick says to us and the cops, like everything that was going on, the club was closing, everyone was outside Allure. William, the other witness, saw someone he knew and walks off towards the parking lot to say hi, which is across the street.
Yeah.
And as he's crossing the street, a car almost hits him, which starts a fight between William Griffin and the driver of this car.
Yes.
So Patrick and Juan try to defuse the situation. They're coaches, like they're good guys.
It's like William is fighting with the driver and then Juan is now arguing with the passenger that was in the car. Because now, of course, everybody's drunk, it's 2 a.m, and everyone's got a fight now.
And Patrick tells us,
as Juan talking to the passenger and I'm talking to William, the driver pulls out a gun, still a gun. I'm trying to back him off or whatever. And Juan is still trying to hash it out with the passenger, but the passenger had a pistol as well. It was all black gun. It seemed like it was a Glock.
The driver and the passenger both pull out guns.
Now, this, we have to just stop for just a second and say, this is ridiculous. Like, the fact that these two people are carrying guns in a, like, the gun situation is out of control. It's absolutely, we are in this moment. This man, this good, good, wonderful man died because the gun situation is fucking out of control.
There's no reason that should be your reaction and your response when you almost hit somebody.
We don't know if they're licensed and we don't know if they have, like, carry permits. Maybe they do. My point is still, these people, these men are whipping these guns out at a person yelling at them. These are not responsible gun owners.
No, zero. Please. But Patrick is awesome because Patrick's like, I know the driver had a silver gun, the passenger had an all black gun. And I'm like, thank you for remembering these details and this super charged moment that is not easy to do.
No, and I want to say one more time, like Juan, they are going to tell us all throughout this thing, he was just trying to defuse the fight. Juan was not trying to fight. He was not trying to engage in the fight. He was trying to like bring the temperature down.
Remember, Patrick and Juan are coaches.
Yes.
Like this is something, when you're good at it, you can do that pretty easily and then people don't even realize you defuse the situation.
Exactly.
People don't even realize that they're being calmed down, which I know people don't want to feel, but Because
I just want to make it clear, like, in my mind, the picture is this car almost hits William. William does what I would do, and he fucking yells at the guy.
Sure.
The guy in the car yells back.
Pulling a gun is not an appropriate response
pulls out
to
his
yell
gun.
At.
Right. And then the passenger, now he's getting involved, and the only one with a clear head here is Juan.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Because Juan, so now the people from the car are in the street.
Yes.
They're now out of the car, and they're pointing guns at people. Remember, the entire club is now on the street.
Yes.
This is incredibly dangerous. Yes.
I recall seeing Juan, you know, trying to knock the gun out of his hand. He then pointed the gun at Juan, and he fired 2 rounds into Juan's chest.
That's when this guy shoots Juan in the chest and drives off.
Twice.
So they drive, but as they drive away, this Patrick guy is fucking amazing.
This was like, this moment that you're about to explain really, like, shook me.
Like, He's trying to memorize the license plate as they're driving away.
But he can't do it.
He can't.
He's saying, I'm saying the numbers and the letters out loud, but I was in such shock that they're not sticking.
They're not sticking.
That's like my biggest fear. Like Daisy's in a car that is speeding away and I can't either see the license plate.
And like it's right
or
there.
Or I can't remember it.
But it can't. It won't stick. And like, oh my God, it's so close yet so far. Patrick, you fucking killed it. And this like really. And the fact
Other
Patrick. But the fact that he even thought to do it.
Yeah. Yes.
Major, he remembered the gun, who had what gun, what colors they were.
Well, because what's crazy here is that, like, there's, 100 witnesses at least, and it takes forever to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
Like, you would think a shooting that happens in front of that many people, they'll get these guys in 5 minutes. Right. That's not what happens.
And for Patrick to have any recollection of anything when he tells us that Juan, his best friend and coworker and, like, partner in this world, you know, like, died in his arms because... Before he knows it.
I got Juan in my hands, keeping him alert. He's bleeding a lot. He and I are talking, and then it started getting to more of like, man, look, tell my wife I love her. And I was like, nah, you gonna tell your wife you love her yourself when you see her again.
Patrick's like, absolutely not. You're going to do that yourself because everything's going to be fine.
And those are words that, like, you hear in movies you never imagine saying out loud. And Juan had to do that.
Yeah. And he was like, you're going to tell your wife, you're going to tell your two daughters, like, everything's going to be fine. And another great thing about Patrick, he knew cars. So this black car turns into a black Mercedes.
Yeah. Exactly. So I can identify the Mercedes symbol on a car.
So don't feel bad that you didn't know the license plate.
Right, exactly.
You remembered enough. We have more information from Patrick than anybody else.
So Detective Brian is saying, you know, there's at least two people in the car. They're looking for two people. They're looking for this black car. That's all they have.
Right.
And Detective Brian is saying that, like, William Griffin, the other guy with Juan and Patrick, he's just kind of a mess. It's really hard to keep him on track. You can't blame the guy.
It's also hard to compare Patrick, who's being an expert witness.
But
you know, like,
this is where I'm saying, like, it takes them too long to tell us that, like, this guy's hammered, which is his right. Like, he's been at a bar with his friends.
2 a.m. He didn't do anything wrong.
I can't believe Patrick's not hammered.
Right.
This Patrick is currently hammered.
He's currently sloshed.
I'm hammered.
So the cops... But tell us that this did not seem like an accident. It seems like more than just a fight that went bad and that Juan was targeted, which feels, based on what we know, not accurate.
Because the car came out of nowhere. You know what I mean? Like the car just was
this
randomly.
Is road rage.
Exactly. That's exactly what this is like road rage and bravado.
Right.
You know? And like men who can't control their tempers and gun laws that are out of control. That's what this is.
That's what this is. So meanwhile, of course, the community is shattered because we spent the first 15 minutes of this hearing about how what wonderful things Juan was doing for the community. Just his existence was bringing people together.
Yeah.
So now everyone is on social media. They're posting about Juan. Like everyone is devastated. He was so loved. You know, Kayla, his wife, Aria, his daughter.
Also, like when a coach or a teacher is like, there's these people that are so prominent in the community and so loved and leaders. And it's devastating.
I mean, they had this impromptu gathering and 200 people came.
Yeah.
To mourn and gather and be together. I mean, come on.
But like right out of a movie, the kids have a game to play and they got to do it. They got to do it for Juan.
Well, they're saying, I think this is actually really moving.
I'm not making fun of it. I'm saying like it is almost cinematic in its poetry.
Because it's the playoffs.
Yeah.
And like Robert Valdez, who's the head coach, he goes, I don't think we ever factored not playing.
Yes.
Like they want to win. They want to go to state and they want to do it for Juan. And the entire community, especially his parents, are all behind this.
And the thing that they save it as a surprise in the end, but like... They had not won states since Juan played.
Yeah.
So in order to get to states and try to do that again, they've got to win this game right now.
Right. So they have banners, they have signs and posters. They're celebrating Juan at the game.
It was the kids who came up with the slogan, do it for Juan. And they literally did it for Juan.
We won 51-0.
At the end, we were celebrating the victory, but we was ultimately celebrating Juan's life.
They won 51-0.
And the dad comes running out through the cheerleaders, through that paper banner thing.
I mean,
it's amazing.
They did it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yay, rah-rah, yay, football. Who did this?
I know.
I also want to know who did it. I'm glad we did it for Juan.
I also think, too, though, that must have been, like, when something like a tragedy like this happens, you hear all the time, the family's like, what do we do now? Now we just sit in our house.
Yeah.
At least they had something to do in that weekend.
And put their energy and like, really, truly do something for Juan and honor him in this really real way.
And also, I think to do something for the, like, as the parents of the amazing leader that was just killed, they get to help the community heal as his parents, which, exactly, I think is an amazing thing to put your energy into.
In the perfect way.
In the perfect way. Yeah. Girl, Fabletics is back. We have officially become a Fabletics house. We're talking the denim, which I love and I wear all the time. Steve is super into their activewear. I'm also obsessed with their gym shorts and gym pants because they have the best pocket I've ever had for a phone.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's absolutely the best.
Yeah, and when you sign up as a VIP with Fabletics, you get 70 to 80% off everything.
Yes.
So it's so easy to grab. Like, I'm really into the pants and leggings that they have.
Yeah.
So I love the Define high-waisted leggings and the Pure Luxe high-waisted flare.
Oh!
Like, we're bringing the flare back, and
yes,
they're just so, so comfy.
The thing that really surprised me is the premium activewear. It's like, they, it feels like that super fancy activewear you'd buy at one of those high-end malls, but without the price tag. So they're super soft, they're super breathable, which is about to become very important because it's going to be summer, and they're built to actually last.
Yeah, and they're cute. You can, like, throw on a matching set for a workout, but then you can just keep it on if you're running errands,
yes,
or you're just, like, doing stuff throughout the day. Like, it just sort of takes the stress out of...
Please.
Getting dressed, and you look cute.
Like, don't sleep on the denim. I know we all want to go and get the activewear, but, like, don't sleep on the denim. It's so good.
Yeah.
So, fam, shop now at fabletics.com/TCO to get 70 to 80% off everything when you sign up as a new VIP.
Take a quick style quiz and be sure to select TCO when prompted to unlock your 70 to 80% off.
But fam, this is a limited time offer, so don't wait.
Again, that's fabletics.com/TCO for 70 to 80% off everything as a new VIP.
She said everything.
Everything. That's what they said. I'm saying it. So back to the investigation. We have zero help from the surveillance camera near the clubs.
Yeah.
All the cameras in the area are useless, broken, facing the wrong way. Thanks for nothing.
Yeah. They know the Mercedes is their only lead. They get a video from a nearby gas station where these idiots are going like a million miles an hour cutting through this gas station parking lot. They're like that. And it at least confirms to the cops that it is a black car that they're looking for.
Right. And meanwhile, like, as the investigation's happening, the football season's also happening.
Yes.
While this community is going through it. And so people, but like at the same time, like, can we not, everyone?
I know.
So now, like, the other teams who, like, hate this team are now sending messages to, like, in their DMs, like, the whole team and all the other coaches need to be shot after your horrible game last night, like, referencing this tragedy.
It's...
Fuck you.
Absolutely. And I'm like, that person's in jail, right? Like, that's a death threat.
That's a death threat. And also using a horrible murder and a tragedy against your other team, like...
Right.
That's so disgusting to be like, you should be shot senselessly too because you played a bad game last night while you're grieving and in mourning.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, we're also learning that, like, they should be arrested. There's like, lots of territorial stuff going on between the neighborhoods. We learn about, like, you know, there was a shooting in a parking lot while playing a rival school,
like,
recently. So, like, the tensions are just very high. The football is taken very seriously. And so the cops are asking, like, could this be connected to, like, football?
I don't know. Here's what they know so far.
Yeah.
Here's what the cops know. They know there was one shooter, two guys, but one shooter who killed Juan.
Yeah.
They know it's a black Mercedes. We have the statements from Juan's friends, but that's it. We don't have a motive. We have no, we don't know where the car is. We don't know who was driving the car. We don't know anything about the driver. Like, not really that great.
There's not much. There is a tip line through Crime Stoppers that's created, and they say
that played a pivotal part in the tip line. I think people wanted to get this situation resolved, so they weren't hesitant to call the tip line.
It's within, I think, 24 hours of the shooting that there are Crime Stoppers tips that are being reported naming Kendrick Cloud and Lamar Cloud.
Kendrick Cloud and Lamar Cloud. They're getting these tips on these names within 24 hours.
These guys are brothers. They must have had a really hard time being around each other after Kendrick Lamar blew up in, like, 2012 or whatever it is. Their names are Kendrick and Lamar
Cloud.
But Kendrick Lamar, like, are you kidding?
Oh, that's so funny.
And they were
funny.
Brothers, and if they were together, it must have been a nightmare for them.
That's wild.
As a Kendrick fan, I'm just saying, like,
yeah.
Two brothers, your names are basically Kendrick Lamar.
Our musical tastes are so different because the only thing I can equate that to is that I grew up with twin friends whose names were Amy and Emily, and those are the Indigo Girls.
Of course.
So, like, that's where I would always go, and they weren't named after them. It was just a coincidence.
To all the Mary-Kate and Ashleys in the world.
I know. I mean,
sisters.
I've told you this a million times. My friend Corey Love has a younger sister named Courtney.
Come on.
I know. And we
on
do it
purpose?
Every time. No. No.
I think I've asked you this.
Yeah, because she was, like, born, but we're old. Like, she was born before Courtney Love was known.
Wow.
I know. Her name is Courtney Love.
It's a great name.
It is a great name.
So anyway, this is huge. We have names, right?
Yeah.
Because the cops are showing the
Courtney
photos.
Courtney Love did this.
I know. No. God. The cops like can now show photos to people and be like, do you know the, like, we have names. We at least have something to go on. Maybe one of them has a black Mercedes. I don't know. So they talk to Patrick and William, the two witnesses that we talked to earlier.
Yeah.
Patrick says that Lamarck was the driver and William says that Kendrick was the shooter. So this is another step forward.
Yes.
So November 17th, 2014, again, 2 years after Kendrick blew up, these kids were probably miserable.
That's wild.
42 hours after Juan's murder, the cops get arrest warrants for the two guys. And as they're driving by their house to like execute the warrants or whatever, they see a black Mercedes driving away from their house.
They pull the car over and they meet Lamika, who is the sister of Lamarck.
And we bring her back to our office for an interview. Talking to Lamika Cloud, we were able to determine that the vehicle was actually registered to her grandmother, but that Lamarck was the primary driver of this vehicle.
But Lamarck is the primary driver. Lamika is my hero. Lamika is me. Like, I love that she's like, if my brother did this, let me give you all of the fucking information.
Right.
This is how this works. This is how this should go.
And she does. And yeah. Off they go to Lamarck's house, the SWAT team and everything. Now, they say, the cops are like, we made entry and contact with Lamarck there. And I'm like, oh, did you guys just knock politely? Did the SWAT team take their shoes off before they entered the home?
They kicked that door.
Just be honest about it.
Yeah.
Be honest about it. Oh, yeah. We made entry.
Uh-huh.
You take your shoes
we
off.
We gained access.
And then we contacted him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm sure when you fucking barreled into him and threw him to the floor.
Yeah. So they search Lamarck's house. They find nothing. They bring him in for questioning. This guy is a fucking TCO listener. He refuses to make a statement.
Yeah.
He's not talking without a lawyer.
As everybody should.
Yeah.
Love him or hate him, everybody should do that.
They can't find Kendrick.
Yes.
So they put his picture on social media and he turns himself in. Like, this did not go well.
Well, because they use the community and the passion of the community at their disposal.
And like, we should just, like, it can't be overstated. Like, the community wants retribution for the death of Juan.
Well,
they love this man. They were literally like, the mom was like,
I was getting phone calls and people was wanting to, I guess, create a posse, if you will, to go and find the person who killed Juan.
They were organizing posses to like go out and find the killer.
Yeah. And they were like, should we do this? And the mom was like,
maybe
no,
let's.
I'm
not saying never, but not yet.
And like, this is before the whole like, all right, social media, do your thing.
Yeah.
But that's basically what the cops were saying.
Yeah.
And so Kendrick turns himself in and he doesn't say anything. He refuses to talk. But I'm like, oh, he was just safer being locked up for a night or two.
Truly.
Because this whole community was coming for him.
Yeah. But even still, the cops are saying, like, they have their suspects, but we don't have anything linking them to Juan.
All we have is this tipster who called.
But we have the eyewitnesses saying those are the guys.
That's
Why
true.
Is that not enough?
Yeah. But the Mercedes isn't registered to either of them.
Yeah.
They didn't find anything in the house.
Yeah.
Like, the warrants didn't come up with anything. These guys are refusing to speak.
It
so
also feels a little bit like nobody is corrupt. Like, where there were 200 people in that parking lot. Why is nobody else being like, yes, I second the motion. Those are the guys.
It's a black community talking to white cops.
You know, I totally understand that. I get that. Yeah.
But then we get another phone call. And this time it's the Louisiana State Police with an anonymous source who wants to meet in person. And the cops are like, this never, ever happens.
It's so wild. They drive to downtown Baton Rouge where they're like, they make sure this secret informant gets a pat down. This person gets in the back seat, like, deep throat.
They meet on the side of a highway.
Yeah.
And like some random rest stop. And he's like,
the guy told me that we needed to be looking for a guy out of the Houston area. We're kind of like, a Houston guy? This is downtown Baton Rouge. Houston's 4.5 hours away. He also lets us know that the weapon that was used in this case was discarded in the woods next to Lamarck Cloud's house.
The murder weapon is in the woods next to Lamarck Cloud's house.
Well,
and we're like, what?
This turns out to be true. They go to the woods next to Lamarck's house and they find the gun in the woods.
And they send it to the lab and it's the murder weapon.
Now, I'm thrilled that they did this. I'm thrilled that this guy is so stupid, but like, what an idiot.
Like, but this is where it gets confusing. So I'm like, okay, why, like, are the Cloud guys involved? Then we have someone 4.5 hours away,
yeah,
just like saying all this stuff. So it is, the murder weapon was in this guy's backyard, but then The DNA, like Kendrick and Lamarck's DNA, is not on the gun.
Right.
So what is going on here?
Well, I think the reason we're confused is because we don't know who the informant is. You know what I mean?
Right.
I feel like that would connect a lot of these dots because it's like, wait, so these guys... But my other thought was like, well, maybe they just wiped the gun down. Like, I mean, if you're dumb enough to throw it in the woods, maybe you forget to wipe it down. But maybe that's why their DNA isn't on it.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, it might just be that simple. But also, it's like, so were you just driving around with gloves on too?
Right. Like, right. Yeah.
Because this does to me feel like a road rage incident.
I mean, like, and like, you know, emotions are heightened when you've been drinking. It's 2 a.m. You're going to the club, you know. And but they say that ballistic evidence from the autopsy proves that this gun is the gun that killed Juan.
Right. And we have the Mercedes that's like kind of Lamarck's, even though it's registered to his grandmother, but it's the car he drives all the time. There's like enough here for the cops to keep moving, so they say.
Yeah.
So 4 months after Juan's murder, it's March of 2015, the grand jury indicts Lamarck Cloud for second degree murder and felony possession of a firearm.
Yeah, but Kendrick is not indicted. Like the grand jury could not come to an agreement on charges for him, so they let him go.
This is insane because the ADA who's here says to us,
at this point, we don't have enough evidence to say who the shooter is. We are proceeding on with the charges against Lamarck Cloud and starting to prepare for trial against him.
Like, think about how crazy that is. We don't have enough evidence to say who the shooter is, but we got Lamarck.
Because we know that one of the guys in the car was the shooter and one of them wasn't.
Yeah.
This is very confusing.
It is confusing. And I'm not, like, obviously defending a fucking murderer.
No, of course.
But I'm just asking in terms of, like, if we're going to scream about it in some cases, we have to scream about it.
For
in all
sure.
Of them.
Yeah.
So it just felt like maybe I'm totally misunderstanding it. Maybe I'm just that dense.
No. Now I think I'm misunderstanding it. Because, like, as I'm getting back, as I'm going through this with you, I'm like, wait a second. It feels like there are things being left out here.
Right. Or they're just like, well, this is close enough.
Yeah.
We'll just do this. And I'm like, well, that's how innocent people get put in prison.
Yes.
But then there's another anonymous tip naming another person as the shooter. And now we have Jamarcus Goodman involved.
Yes. And it turns
out, like, do you guys vet these tips? Or?
Well, but Jamarcus is from the Houston area. So it does seem like these two, like, secret informants are saying the same thing.
Right. So it's like, okay, so was the first Mr. Anonymous right? And if so, how are these Cloud brothers involved now?
Because one of them's being indicted.
And what if every tip is coming from the same person? Like, no, look over there.
Totally. Like, the actual killer being like, it's Jamarcus in Houston.
Yeah. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, what is going on?
We'll get some actual evidence in the end. I promise, Fran.
Okay. Because I'm getting impatient.
I know.
And imagine the community.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Or like the wrongfully accused.
All that. Many people.
Girl, Ernan is back. And can I tell you what is disrespectful?
Please.
Waiting is disrespectful. Ernan is giving you access to the money that you've already earned and worked for. So we're talking up to $150 a day or up to $1,000 between paydays.
Yeah. And this is not a payday loan. This is access to your own money.
Yes.
So there's no interest. There's no credit checks. There's no mandatory fees. It's your money.
So fam, Earnin is a non-bank finance app with over 5 million people and growing using this thing. And the concept is almost annoyingly simple. You earn money and you can access it.
Yeah, and they also have features like lightning speed, which gets you your money in minutes.
Ooh.
And they always have a no-cost option to make financial momentum accessible to as many people as possible, because that's what it's all about.
So fam, get in on this. Get your money when you want it. Download Earnin on the App Store or Google Play.
It's spelled like earning money, but without the G.
Exactly. Type in True Crime Obsessed under podcast. When you sign up, it'll really help the show.
All right, we got some mandatory disclaimers.
Tell them.
Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank.
Access limits are based on your earnings and risk factors. Standard cash outs take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees.
Expedited transfers are available for a fee. Tips are voluntary and don't affect the service.
Available in select states. Terms and restrictions apply. Visit earnin.com for full details.
So it's 7 months after Juan Joseph's murder. It's June of 2015. And Jamarcus Goodman has been arrested in Houston. And the Louisiana cops are able to question him.
Yes.
So he tells the cops, I've only been to Baton Rouge one time. It was last year. And yeah, actually, it was during football season.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, why were you there then? Because remember, the cops think this is a targeted attack on Juan.
Yes.
So he's like the star of the football season. Like, why were you there 4.5 hours away for some, like, random football game?
And they straight up ask him, like, have you ever shot anybody in Baton Rouge? And he says, absolutely not.
But he does say,
so here's our connection. He tells us, yes, Lamarck's dating my cousin. And he doesn't hang out with anybody else in Baton Rouge.
And he's like, they're literally the only two people I know in Baton Rouge. And I'm like, oh, well, now we have
the connection here. Right.
And so the guy's like, I know Lamar Cloud. We really aren't friends. I've never been to a club ever. And no, I've definitely never killed anybody. And then he willingly gives the cops his DNA.
Which is crazy.
Because
he's the guy.
It's a match on the gun.
Yeah.
What is wrong with him?
I don't know.
Lawyer.
I know.
I mean, if we're going to get the guy, we're going to get the guy. But why would he say all of these things tying himself to this murder and then give the DNA? Like, how did he think he was going to get away with this?
Well, sometimes I feel like they just know they're not going to. So like, let's just cut to, I feel like we've seen this before where it's like, I'm never going to get away. I'm not going to tell you that I did it, but I'm not going to fight your quest to pin this on me.
I guess, but he didn't even say any of that. He didn't even like say but that in the video.
Or maybe Jamarcus doesn't know they have the gun. You know what I mean? Maybe. Because it's like, well, if I shot the guy, but I didn't touch the guy, there's no DNA anywhere on the body. So what is this going to do? They don't know that they have DNA from the gun.
Well, the cops need to talk to Lamarck because this is the connection, right? So now 2 years after Juan's murder, Lamarck Cloud gives a statement. The first part is everything we already know. They were at Club Allure. Everything was great. They left the club. They get in that fight with William because they almost hit him with the car.
Yeah.
Juan was there, and Lamarck admits, yes, I was armed when I stepped out of the car. And then he says,
now Jamarcus gets back in the car with a weapon.
He hopped back in. He was just like, man, just go, like that. And I just pulled out.
Did you hear gunfire?
To be honest with you, I didn't.
He didn't want to admit to hearing gunshots. He never said that I witnessed Jamarcus Goodman shoot this other individual over here.
Lamarck is saying, yes, this is what happened, but I had nothing to do with the shooting. I didn't even know there was a shooting. That's why I took off. It's important to state here, there was a little bit of confusion earlier in the episode because Lamarck and his brother Kendrick were originally identified as the two in the car. Kendrick was misidentified. Yeah. Kendrick was not in the car. The people in the car were Lamarck, who was the driver, and Jamarcus, who was the passenger and the shooter.
So it does make sense that the gun would be at Lamarck's house because that was the connection.
Exactly.
So, and this isn't, I mean, I think some people in the legal profession might say that this is a stretch, but it's enough for the cops.
Yes.
To like tie all of them together. Because Lamarck put them at the scene of the crime. He confirmed a lot of stuff we already knew.
Yes.
He put Jamarcus in the car with a gun.
And the DNA on the gun that we know killed Juan matches Jamarcus. This is kind of a slam dunk.
Right.
I'm going to go with slam dunk.
But the thing is, this was an actual random act of violence.
Well, right. Because
it was
like,
road rage.
It was just road rage. It was like, this car clipped William. William yelled at the driver. The driver yelled back. The passenger decided to get involved.
Juan tries to be the good guy that he is and defuse it.
And that's that's my big note here, is that Juan is just like the good guy trying to make everybody just go home to their families and gets shot because of it.
Yeah, that's it. Like, there was no other motive here than maybe
random
possibly
road rage.
Like drunk, possibly, I don't know, but like assholes killing people.
Yeah.
So September 2016, it's now 4 years after Juan's murder.
Lamarck Cloud is going to plead guilty to attempted possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. He will be sentenced to 7.5 years in prison. Jamarcus Goodman pled guilty to manslaughter nearly 4 years after Juan was murdered. And he was sentenced to 40 years in prison.
Jamarcus Goodman pleads guilty to manslaughter and gets 40 years.
Why the manslaughter charge? Like, they've got the DNA. He fucking murdered the guy in cold blood. Why manslaughter?
I think because it was a passion, like random act of violence. It's not like he went to the club to kill.
It wasn't like premeditated.
I think that's the technicality that they'll get him on for that.
Because I'm like, isn't that third degree murder? I make a true crime podcast. You know what I mean? Like, there's a, like, I don't know. It just makes me mad. Like, manslaughter feels less than murder. Like, he murdered this guy.
Yeah. Or I don't know what the lawyers actually argued, but I think there's a way to say like, well, he didn't go there killing someone.
And also like, if it was the result of a plea deal, which it seems like it was.
Exactly.
Then to avoid a trial, I guess. And 40 years is 40 years, whatever. You know, like, that's fine, but...
But I don't know. If you're out at a club with a gun anyway, like, for what reason?
But, like, this is what I'm saying. What I'm screaming about, like, the gun laws are crazy. And I'm, like, not in support of taking everybody's guns away. I just want sensible gun laws. There are too many illegal guns on the street.
Yes.
And I'm not even saying that Jamarcus was an illegal gun. We don't know. Maybe he was licensed and maybe he was licensed to carry.
We have no idea.
But, like, the point is there are just too many guns, you know? And, like, people, like, taking guns out in their cars and getting in fights and getting mad at each other and shooting people in public. Like, it is, it doesn't happen other places.
No.
You know?
No, only in America.
Yeah.
Welcome.
I want to be really clear. We don't know that Jamarcus wasn't licensed to carry. I'm not saying that he wasn't. I'm just saying there are too many guns in circulation.
And it's also not an appropriate response.
No, exactly.
To a fight outside of a club about, like, which really, if we're going to boil it down, was just a misunderstanding.
Yes.
Or just someone who would have been like, sorry. Right. Just keep driving. Just go home.
Yes.
So December 7th, 2017, we're at the Superdome in New Orleans.
Yes.
And West St. John was the state championship. It became full circle.
And in 2017, that was the first championship since Juan and I did it in 2004. It was a pretty special moment.
West St. John wins the championship again for the first time since Juan and Patrick did it in 2004 in the same place they won. That
yes,
made everybody proud.
We did it.
It's like a really, really, really moving full circle moment for the community.
Yes.
And I think it brought some people some healing in the way that it could
yes.
for them. But I think they really felt like they were doing it for Juan and that he was there with them. And like
yes.
he was such a big part of that community. And I think it's a really beautiful thing that they did.
It's really beautiful. You know, and like there's a community park in the town that they renamed the Juan Anthony Joseph Community Park. Like, this community loved this guy.
Yeah.
And they wanted
to, showed
up. They showed up. They wanted a place to be able to go to remember him and talk about him. And, you know, I love a community park. The mom loves the community park, too.
Yeah, and his friend, it ends with one of his friends saying, legends never die. They have a lasting impact, and that's what Juan has. And, like, his story will live on forever. And, like,
yeah.
everything he taught the community will still be passed down, hopefully.
Yes.
You know, people saying, like, that coach I had,
yeah.
He was amazing.
And his name will never be forgotten.
Ever.
Oh, girl, we did Murder Under the Friday Night Lights. Do it for Juan.
Yes, season one, episode 5.
Yeah, we love you, fam. Thanks for hanging out with us. Look, I'm aspirationally putting myself in the mindset of April, because
yes.
after this is coming out, we are recording this in January.
And most importantly for you, it's springtime.
Well,
it will hopefully
I mean.
Be like, a little bit warmer for
look,
you.
Look, I'll take 60 degrees at this point. Anything. Give me a 60-degree
nice.
Day.
Yeah.
All right, we love you.
We love you. Stay safe, please.
All right, bye.
Bye.